It's the shear of your life, it's tossing on the sea of strife. You need someone. And if you feel so all alone, and your house is not a home, you need someone. And if it seems like just is a fair, and there's no one else to share all those lonely days and nights, when things just don't turn out right, you want someone to care, someone to just be there. You need someone. I give you Jesus.
Let everybody stand right now. Let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord. Thank God for what we have here this morning, for the wonderful truth. Lord, I give you praise. I glorify you. I worship your name. Lord, I take this opportunity, God, to thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I give you praise today, mighty God. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Come on, church. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and give him praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's worship with the group while they sing. Hallelujah.
Holy, holy, holy.
You can be dismissed.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy,
holy,
holy. Somebody, let's praise the Lord at this house. Come on, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for Him. Come on, let's magnify Him together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, while you're turning to the book of Matthew chapter 12, I want you to stand with me in this place. Amen. As you're turning there, I want us to sing a chorus together that's been on my mind. Amen. I exalt Thee. That's the way I feel this morning. I've come to give Him praise. I need something from God this morning. I don't know about you. I'm here to preach to you, but I need God to minister to me. Amen. And that's the way I'm approaching this thing this morning. God, I need You. Amen.
Oh, I exalt Thee.
cry I call thee. Oh, I call thee.
Oh, Lord. Come on, I want every hand raised. Let's sing it one more time. There's something moving in this place. Come on, God, to the minister to somebody this morning. I want you to lay every problem aside this morning. Come on, I want you to sing it to Him. There's something going to move into this place in the next few moments that I can't give to. I can't bring it to you. But if we're exalting together, God will do it for us. Together, church. Come on, there's something in this house already. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you in this place. God, we magnify you in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. In the Bible, when Jacob was being dealt with by the Lord, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16 that in Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And I hope this morning that we're not going to leave this place and wake up and say, you know, surely the presence of the Lord was there, but yet I didn't even realize it until it was too late. But this morning I want to wake up before God leaves. Before we dismiss, I want to wake up, Brother Glenn, and I want to feel the Lord in this place this morning. Come on, let's sing this chorus one more time. Not this one. Let's sing, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Put your Bible down a few moments. We're going to give God praise. We're going to magnify God. I'm going to preach to you. I got something. But I want God to minister to us in this place. Hallelujah. Help me sing it. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Yes, the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His presence.
Come on, there's something special in this house this morning.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, get them. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Amen. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Verse 3. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and that they were with him, and that they that were with him, verse 4, and how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. I want to preach to you upon this simple subject this morning, when hunger meets tradition. When hunger meets tradition. Let's lift our hands and let's ask God to open our hearts and our minds in this place this morning. Father, I pray right now that you would open our hearts and our minds. God, I pray that you would speak to us before we leave this place this day. I pray, God, that you would let our hunger override our tradition in this place this morning, God. That we would, God, get a hold of you before we leave this house. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. When hunger meets tradition, here we find Jesus in the previous chapter as he commanded his disciples to go and to preach and to heal in the cities. And Jesus continued there to teach and to preach in the cities. And now in verse or chapter 12, we find as our text reads, as Jesus began to journey, he passed some cornfields along his way. And now tradition said that he was not to eat of these cornfields, of this corn. It was not lawful on the Sabbath day for him to eat of these fields. And we as Pentecostals in 1999, if that law was still in effect today, we would be in bad shape. Because after church, I like to go and eat. I like to go and find my favorite restaurant and find something to eat. But it was unlawful for them to do upon the Sabbath day. And when the Pharisees saw them do that, they marveled at what was happening. It was custom for one, the Bible said, to pluck what he could eat as he passed through the fields and then carry on. For the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 24 and 25, it said, When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, when thou mayest eat, or then thou mayest eat the grapes of thy field at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in their vessel. And verse 25 went on and said, When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor's field, then thou mayest pluck the ears that stand. But thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. He said, while you're in the field, you can eat all you want, all that you can hold, but do not take any with you. Do not take anything in your sacks with you. Eat all you can while you're there. But it was not lawful to eat on the Sabbath day in Jesus' day and hour. Tradition said, no, do not eat on this day. You've got to pass the cornfields up. I don't care how hungry you are. You've got to pass it up. Today, the tradition of the church world in our
hour. It says that we need to be calm on Sunday morning, that we need to sit back and enjoy the singing and what's taking place on Sunday morning. We need to ride the service out and just see what everybody else is going to do and go home the same as when we got here. That's what tradition tells us in 1999. But what I have come to preach to you in this house this morning is when our hunger meets tradition, I'm hungry for God this morning. I need God to minister to me. And I am hungry in this house. But there's something about 1999. It is the tradition for the church world to eat and to take home all that they find in the house of God. My hunger this morning is going to override everything that the church world puts before me. I'm not going to sit down and let you have a blessing and me go home the same as I came this morning. But God, I'm hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you something in this house. If you're waiting on revival, if you're waiting on Living Way Apostolic Church, if you're waiting on your neighbor in this house, then revival may never come. But it's got to start on the inside of us. It's got to come from the inside. It's got to be a hunger. No matter what Brother Glenn White does, I'm going to praise God. No matter what Brother Troy does, I'm hungry for God. He can get his blessing. He can get what he needs. But my blessing this morning, it relies upon my hunger. You can't give it to me. You can't give it to me, but God can give me what I need. And I'm hungry for God this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. But now revival will never come if we wait on our neighbor to bring it. Hallelujah. It's got to start on the inside. It's got to come from within. If you're hungry for healing, if you're hungry for miracles, if you're hungry for end time revival, we're not going to get it sitting on the pew and waiting for the preacher. We're not going to get it sitting on the pew and waiting for the right song. But we've got to get hungry. We've got to love God enough. Amen. No matter how far I have to drive, I'm hungry enough to go. No matter how far I have to go to get somebody and bring them to the house of God, I'm going to do that because I'm hungry for God to move on somebody else. I want God to saturate somebody else with what I've found. Let me tell you something. We've got the best thing going in Pentecost today. We've got something that this world needs, and we can't relax. We can't sit back. Come on now. Hallelujah. We can't sit back and relax and let the world pass us by. We got to save this world. We got to take somebody with us. We've got the best thing going, church. This world needs what you and I have in this place. But they're not going to get it until you and I get hungry enough to get God in our life, that we get Him so much that we're hungry and we want somebody to feel what we feel. We want to take it to somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. If you get hungry enough, God will meet that need. Revival don't come going by worldly traditions. The revival that you and I are looking for and desiring for and have had some of, it did not and will not come by worldly traditions. Amen. It comes through a love for God. It comes through a dedicated life to God. It comes through a prayer life that is dedicated to God. It comes through faithfulness. That's how we're going to get this revival that we're looking for. It comes through a daily relationship with God, not just a Sunday morning, a Sunday night relationship. I'm going to live for God on Sunday, and when Monday gets here, I'm going to slack off. But this revival, come on now, this revival I'm preaching to you, it's going to come through our worship to God and through our daily relationship and commitment to God. That's how it's going to happen. Tradition told me as a young man to take church lightly. It told me just to take things lightly. It wasn't serious. It was for the elders. I had plenty of life in my time. I didn't have to get serious about this church thing. But tradition, it told me that. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. That's what tradition will do to you. You don't have to take this thing serious. You don't have to get serious with God. That same tradition that I'm talking about this morning, it is hitting our kids left and right. You don't have to take church serious. Youth service Wednesday night, I don't care. You don't have to take it serious. That's what this world is telling them. And that's why it's left up to us, mom and dad, to make sure these kids get what they need in the prayer room. We need to make sure they're with us when we come to the house of God. There ain't no excuse if they're living with you. Why they can't come to the house of God, there ain't no excuse why they shouldn't be in the prayer room. Because we got to give it to them. We got to give it to them. Tradition says you don't have to get it, young person. You don't have to. But mom and dad, we got to get hungry enough that we place it inside of them. I can't do it for you. I can teach them and preach to them. But when it gets inside of the home, when it gets inside of mom and dad, and they see that mom and dad has found something that will sustain, there is something on the inside of that child that begins to get hungry for God. Because mom and dad have got hungry. They don't care what the world does. They don't care how the world lives. But mom and dad, they found something in the church. They found something in God that will sustain them. These kids are looking for an answer. They're looking for something stable in their life. Hallelujah. Is this all right? And we've got to give it to them. We've got to get hungry enough that we give it to them. As a young man, it did not matter to me what tradition said. When I pictured myself in hell, burning, lost forever, tradition did not matter to me anymore. When I saw myself missing the rapture of the church, it did not matter to me. I saw something inside of mom and dad that made me want this thing for the toy, and I sold out to it. I give my entire life to it, and I refuse to give up and turn back. I don't care what tradition tells me on Sunday morning, but God, I want you. I don't care. I want this Holy Ghost to consume my life. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and hour that we must be hungry for a deeper, consecrated, dedicated life to God. The Bible said that scarcely will the righteous be saved. Where does that lead the sinner and the ungodly? If you and I pray all the time, and the Bible said scarcely will the righteous be saved, it's going to be hard enough for me and Brother Troy to make it. Hallelujah. That's facts, folks. We got to get hungry on the inside enough that we know for out of shadow of a doubt that everything's all right. If that trumpet sounded this morning, a lot of times we hear it said, at midnight it's going to happen. We got all day long to party. And at the closing of the hour, we're going to get all right. But the Bible said, no man, what hour's going to happen? So we need to get hungry enough and forget tradition, forget what the world says, and get hungry that God, I want you. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody magnify Him in this place this morning. He is worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I'm hungry for You. I want a move of Your Spirit before I leave this place this morning. I wonder this morning if You can break out of tradition and let God saturate you in this house this morning before we leave this place. If we can give God everything and let Him have His way. Too many times we're worried about 11:30 getting here. We can't beat the Baptists to the restaurant. We can't beat these other guys to the restaurant. I'm hungry for more than what the restaurant can give me. They're going to be there when we get out of here. But this hour, I need God. I want God more than anything else. Hallelujah. It's got to become a hunger. Hallelujah. But it was tradition to leave the cornfields alone on the Sabbath. But somebody was hungry when they went through there. Somebody said, no, I need something to eat. I've got to get a hold of this thing. I can't walk back. The world is forming that tradition in our kids, in our middle-aged people, in our elders, that if we can leave this thing alone, we're going to be all right. They're teaching in colleges now that you're a God within yourself. You don't need God. Amen. If you don't believe it, go to college. But you don't need God. I heard a missionary say to another one, what is it that makes things happen so much overseas and it don't happen here? He said, the people in America, they don't need God. They've got everything that they need at their fingertips. They don't have to depend on God for anything. But I believe God is about to take us to a place that we're going to have to totally depend upon Him for everything that we need. I believe God's going to have to do that to America today before we will ever get hungry to the point that God wants us at. But I pray to God, don't let that happen. For God, I'm hungry now. I don't want that to have to take place for me to get hungry. But church, I'm begging you this morning before that happens that we get hungry as a church and let God saturate us with this revival, that He don't have to rock our ship and turn us upside down, but we're hungry now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost thing, this living for God, this holiness lifestyle, it is not something that we do for fun. It is not just something that we made up. But this thing is a matter of life and death, a matter of heaven and hell. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I can remember at Thanksgiving time when everybody in the family would meet at the house, and it was tradition that everybody got to the table before we served our meals. Before we gave everything out, everybody had to be sitting down. We'd say our prayer, and then we would have our meal. But invariably, somebody was going to come in from a late church service or come a bit early. Let me say that. They was going to come in just a little bit early, and they was going to walk over by all the goodies, and they was going to reach down and get them a roll, you know, thinking nobody would see them. They was going to get them a piece of pie. They knew everybody was supposed to be at the table before they ate supper or dinner. They knew that. But they was hungry when they walked in. And tradition didn't matter to them. They wanted to meet that need. And that's what I'm asking you this morning. How hungry are you? Tradition says that we're to go to church. We're going to have church on Sunday night. That's the way a Pentecostals feel. Sunday morning's a little late back. You know, I was brought up in this thing. I kind of know that. Sunday night, we're going to have church. But tradition tells us that. But I wonder this morning, how hungry are you? How bad do you want God? How bad do you want Him to saturate you with the Holy Ghost? How bad do you want your answer? How bad do you want your family saved? How bad do you want your kids saved? Come on now. How hungry are you in this place this morning? Come on, I don't want tradition to rule me, but God, I'm hungry for you. I want an outpouring of your spirit. I'm reminded of the song that says, I do not know, I cannot tell how God saved me from a hot burning hell, but what I do know is that He washed my sins away. That's what makes me hungry for God. I can't tell you how it happened. I can't tell you how He does it. I can tell you about the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you how He saved me from a hot burning hell. But all I know is that He did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Musicians, get ready. Hallelujah. Come on, there's somebody in this place you've come this morning needing an answer. I know that's a broad statement. You ain't got to be a prophet to know that. There's people in this place that are hungry for God. You need God to answer something for you. You need God to give you direction. I've come to this place this morning with my own personal need, and God knows what it is. And I pray before I leave this place that God gives me my direction, that God gives me my answer. But it all depends upon how hungry Brother Spain is. How hungry are you before you get that blessing? Come on, somebody. We got to get hungry. We got to let God have His way. Singers, get ready. Let's sing something together. Come on, somebody. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to begin to praise and worship God. There is something fixing to take place in this house this morning for somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody needs an answer. Somebody knows that God's dealing with you right now. Tradition says to leave it alone. But my hunger is God. I need you before I leave this place. Come on, I got one. Is there anybody else in this place that God is dealing with you? Singers, help me sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hands raised. Come on, somebody. Too many times we get used to a shout. Too many times we get used to running the aisles. And we can't hear that small, still voice of God as He begins to speak to our hearts. There's nothing wrong with shouting and running the aisles. I love it. I like to get involved in it. But I still like to be sensitive enough to God that when He pulls on me, that I know when to get up and go. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.